You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's get into our conversation. We're getting into our deep dive with Pastor Cliff Lizuchinyama, joining us to speak once again about finding hope and healing after loss. And today we're speaking about beauty from ashes, because how many of you know that God doesn't just help us to survive loss, He redeems it, right? We find this in the promise of Isaiah 61, verse 3, like we said. This is not just poetic fluff. This is prophetic truth. He gives beauty for ashes. And this doesn't mean we forget the fire. It means from the ashes, something holy grows. Your deepest wound can become someone else's rescue. And out of your pain, purpose can rise. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Such a beautiful, beautiful promise. And one of the beautiful things about being a Christian and having that great hope, right? So let's talk about it. My pastor, good morning once again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, my moderator. Good morning, and good morning to the listeners.
Amen. Now, Pastor, what does it look like when God brings purpose out of pain?
Okay. When God brings a purpose out of pain, just as the scripture is reminding us and other supporting Bible verses, it opens up our minds and makes us realize that there is a God who is in charge. This is why this happened, to prevent this from happening. Because in our mortal state, we cannot see the front. We cannot see the future. You know, I was watching one particular clip on the reels on Facebook and so on. So I saw this animal going onto the road, you know, just before the driver was approaching the hills. And this animal wasn't bypassing, wasn't getting over to the other side, so the guy could continue, you know, driving his pickup. And so as he got out trying to scare the animal away, lo and behold, he just saw stones rolling down onto the road and just closing up the road, and such that if at all he got there that moment, he was going to be crushed inside his pickup. And so pain comes because the Lord has just permitted it. By the way, pain never comes from God. He only permits because it's Satan who causes pain. But now this pain that comes, God makes us realize that indeed it happened because He was saving us from this, and that this is why we come to terms to say He is a God of purpose.
Beautiful, beautiful. And how have people in scripture or in history typically turn tragedy into a testimony? Any that you can share?
Okay, we can look at the colleague, the brother Joseph. You know, we've been through Joseph and Job the entire week, referencing to him during the segment. So Joseph, again, it's either chapter 39 or chapter 41, one of these two chapters. Joseph got married after, immediately after he was elevated, because that was at least to complete him in his elevation. Yeah. And when he had his children, the firstborn was named Manasseh, and which means the Lord has made me forget my pain, you know, in the past, and so on. Mm. So he named that boy, when he looked at the boy, Manasseh. And then when he had another child, he named that child Ephraim, meaning God has made me forget all my sorrow. Mm. So Joseph names his children as a testimony that the Lord has been through him with him, and has made him go through the pain and the tragedy. Hence, even, by the way, my moderator, my second born son, I named him Ephraim because of the goodness that the Lord has done for me. And so, just before he was born, I knew, even before the scan, that it's a baby boy. Mm-hmm. And when the child was born, I said, this is Ephraim. And so Ephraim there, according to Joseph, he looked at the child and he saw that the Lord has made him forget. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can testify. And I think most of you, even in your lineage, I know there are people that have been named, you know, as a testimony. Yes. Some children have been named blessings. Some children have been named a gift. So we can testify. Beautiful. You know, that God is really in charge. Yeah, that's a testimony.
I love that. And the idea of using names, that reminds me of Leah, the story of Leah and Jacob and Rachel, and the way Leah kept naming her sons. It was like she was begging for Joseph, for Jacob's attention and his affection. And
love,
until she got to the fourth one, Judah, where she just gave Judah praise, like God's name should be praised. And I love the fact that that's the line through which Jesus came. I think there's something to be said about that. And so that, what a beautiful
way. Exactly.
Having gone through all of that, she went through in this marriage and this love triangle that she never asked for. Yeah, what a beautiful, beautiful story. All right, so getting back into our conversation, as we're speaking about this, I think it's also beautiful for us to talk about this, especially with the title Beauty for Ashes, because it does, it's such a poetic way of putting it, right? And sometimes when we talk about it, it almost loses its meaning. And so I like that we're talking about the practicality and the and how literally God can give you, he literally turns the situation around. I think there's so much beauty in that. Are we open to having our grief as ministry and making it a reality like that instead of just a memory? Can we use it as a testimony, even beyond, you know, naming our children a certain way?
Okay. The answer there can come in a and the answer there is in a dual form. It could be yes. It could be no. Mm-hmm. If it's yes, it means we have accepted that this that happened, you know, the Lord is still in control. The Lord is in charge. Mm. And we accepted the loss, the tragedy, and we are ready to start again. Why? Because we depend and we believe in God. And then if it's no, then we get to a point of denial, my moderator. We say, no, this cannot happen to me. I'm too young. Mm. How can I be a widower? How can I be a widow? How can I be, you know, an orphan at this tender age? So if it's no, then we think that that particular tragedy, in our mode of shallow thinking, we think it's not meant for us. Now the question is, okay, who is it meant for if it's not for you? Because you are part of, you know, the population. So we can only open, you know, to realize that it's a ministry for others to learn when we come to terms to say everything comes from God. And it's the Lord who can allow us to lose, but then he's the same God who comes as a replacing God.
And can scars become sacred when we use them to comfort other people?
Okay. Now, when we look at the word sacred, I know scars, we know the meaning there, but sacred.
Yeah.
Sacred, you know, in scripture throughout is aligned to the date or something holy that we reverence, and that is God.
Mm.
So in this, in answering this particular, you know, thought, scars cannot become sacred, but scars can become a symbol of survival, of a tragedy, a loss that we encountered.
Mm.
So when we look at them as a symbol of victory, then we realize that we can use them, you know, to comfort others, to show them, to say, oh, this is when you've lost your parent. I lost my parent when I was in grade 8. I lost my parent when I was in grade, you know, when I was young, when I couldn't even know much. Yeah, so that scar that has remained, we cannot worship it and just, you know, look at it, exemplify it.
Yeah.
But then we can use it by pointing to it as we comfort somebody now who, after down the years, who has gone through what we already went through.
Hey.
What we already went through.
Yeah, for sure. And would you say that in some way that is why we go through these things? Because I believe there's that scripture, I can't think where to find this, but there's that scripture that talks about the fact that the Holy Spirit comforts us so that we too can be in a position to comfort others when they're going through something similar.
Oh, yeah. We praise God for the coming of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's been there from a foundation, but it was even more inaugurated when Christ ascended. So the Holy Spirit comes as comforter, and the Holy Spirit has many names such that the ones we have may not even be exhaustive that theologians have found. But each time you go into the original language, you know, inspiration, which again comes back to the Holy Spirit, just gives us more names that suit the Holy Spirit, because it comes in any form, in any season, and it comes at any time of whatever we're going through. Through joys, it's there. Through pain, it is there. And so it's only again, yeah, the Holy Spirit that comes and lights up or seals up the comfort, even as we look for words to shallow words to give to our friends or our colleagues.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's what I can say.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. And what kind of beauty does the Lord give us for our ashes? What kind of beauty are we talking about? What kind of beauty can be born from ashes? And how can we be ready to receive such beauty?
Okay, ashes. Ashes in scripture are associated with at times total repentance. You know, when people repented after hearing the word of God, they put on ashes and put on sackcloth, you know, just to show reverence to the deity. And at times when somebody underwent some challenge that they never understood, you know, where it came from, they put on ashes. And so the beauty that comes out from ashes, you know, is just like a tree that has grown in a well-fertilized place with adequate water, not moderate, but adequate water and good soil fertility. And this tree will grow and will be a tree that will be a source of benefit to both plant life and animal life. So the beauty that comes, that is born from ashes, is the beauty of realizing that the Lord now has moved us, because we have qualified, we've gone through, we've made it. So he has moved us from a place of sinking sand to a place of stony ground where he will constantly support us. So the other beauty again is realizing that the Lord has secured our destiny and he is in charge. So our tragedy, which is temporal and just for a little while, should not bother us, because there is more great beauty that has mushroomed, because the beauty is in charge.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. I love that. As we're wrapping up, Pastor, someone might be listening who's been through some kind of a loss and who's thinking, these are all beautiful words. That's lovely. I know that God is real, but I am really angry right now for whatever reason. Maybe I've lost my husband, who was the sole breadwinner. He was a good man. Or I've lost my child, or I've lost my job and my whole family was relying on me. Whatever it might be, the loss that someone has experienced. If you're feeling angry with God, is it sinful to feel angry with God? And how do you come out of that anger?
Okay. Well, let me see how I can tread upon it. You see, when Job underwent that tragedy, he wasn't angry with God, but he was surprised, you know, and he realized, but God, you are my dad, and you are standing there, and I'm being butchered left, right, and, you know, center.
Yeah.
And so I think, point blank, I think, yes, it is wrong. If you know that God is good all the time, it is wrong to be angry with God, because we realize that he knows the future and he knows why whatever has happened to us has happened. But it is normal to get angry at the situation, at the tragedy, and because now that is being a human being and your sensibility is working out. So it is normal to get angry at the situation and just marvel at it. But it is totally wrong to get angry with God, because like now you're telling God to say, look, I know you are older than me. You have been there from everlasting to everlasting, but this should not have been like this. It should go like this. So your pain is there. We need to accept it. We'll get angry. But then after some time, this is why the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, when you're angry, you know, do not allow the sun to set, you know. In the same point, it also means not allow the sun to rise. So if you got angry, when the sun had set, before the sun rises, you know, cool down, accept. Mm. If you got angry while the sun, you know, rose before it sets. So in short, just accept the situation, mourn, grieve, you know, look at your loss, take time, be alone, but don't harm yourself, you know. Mm. Get back to a point and realize that, hey, when people start coming to you, you realize that what you've gone through is a bit shallow than what your next nearest neighbor went through. And you never knew. Why? Because you never went through that. You only know because you have gone through it, and they have a reason to come and encourage you using that scar that they survived.
Wow. So I guess it's about where you direct the anger to. The anger itself is a natural response, but where is it directed to?
Correct.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Pastor. Really appreciate your time. This is our final session. Would you close for us in prayer?
Sure, let us pray together. Holy One of Israel, Lion, yes, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords, we glorify your holy name this beautiful Friday morning. We thank you for what you've done for us and all your goodness that you've shown upon each one of us. I now pray under the sound of my voice to every listener across the world who has taken time to tune in this segment, that let every session that has come different from the other, be it that we'll give the best words of comfort and also draw them closer to you in Jesus' name. Continue to be with us even as we prepare for the Sabbath hours later in the evenings, and continue, Father, to position your holy, righteous hand upon our lives. Protect everything that we have, bless our work, and continue to abide with us. Be with us, Lord, and keep us under the shadow of your wings. In the name of Jesus, the name above all names, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for your time this week. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath ahead.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.